What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
And good morning in Kale and Company News Live. We are sponsored this morning by Discover Lancaster on this Monday morning, August 26th, first day of school for Philadelphia school children. In the news this morning, I'll begin with police searching for a bystander who was shot and killed trying to break up an argument in Philadelphia's Kensington section. Police saying an innocent bystander shot and killed happened as this individual was trying to break up an argument that escalated tragically, as it too often does in Philadelphia, into gunfire. So investigators saying they watched it play out on city-owned surveillance images that were capturing this incident. They see a woman get between two people who were fighting, but she was the one who was shot and killed in the process of it, as she was not the target at all. Too often we say this on a Monday morning, especially for whatever reason, that the person shot and killed was not the intended target. So there were a number of people in front of the store. At some point there, the argument broke out. Investigators say that victim, a woman in her 30s, tried to break up the fight. She ended up being fatally shot. The victim's identity not being released yet this morning.
City of bad aim, right?
Ugh.
Always the unintended target that takes it. Sometimes having no involvement in the altercation at all, right?
It's so true. I mean, and just the callous nature of pulling the trigger and this young woman. So they're not releasing her name yet, Nick, because they still have to release. They have to make sure they find all of her next of kin so that,
sure,
some, God forbid, somebody doesn't hear it on the news,
right,
before they can reach everybody. So we have that going on as well. First day of school in Philadelphia this morning. So the mayor, Sherelle Parker, announcing that later in the day, she will be pitching for more federal dollars for Philadelphia school children. So we already have among the lowest test scores in the nation, but we spend among the most of any school district, or if you look at any municipality in the country, we're right up there in the top tier of spending.
It's amazing.
Per child.
The amount of money that is spent and the return on the investment is just so low. It's hard to fathom. My girls will be getting on the bus in just about an hour and a half. First day in Bluebell today.
First day
jitters. Yeah, they better be ready to go. They were down at Ocean City, Maryland until yesterday morning and got home early afternoon. I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear from mom that at 6:15 when the alarm went off that they were too tired, right? Because they haven't been in school, because in Nashville they let out in like mid-May.
Oh, my
goodness. So they've had like a 3.5 month summer. They probably forget how to write their own name at this point, to be honest.
First day of school.
Yeah.
So in Philadelphia, they start at 7:30 in the morning with the pre-school events, and they will go until, because we've extended the day of school here, as we've talked a lot about. So those, if you go from the before school and then the after school programs, you're looking at 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. That's how long our schools are open here.
Long day.
Yeah. Yep. Long day for a lot of children. That's mm-hmm. for sure. I know we have a lot to talk about. No peace deal in the Middle East. And that one, many people are looking to that, hoping and praying for peace in the Middle East. And this, as the situation, as we'll talk about, no doubt escalated over the weekend with Hezbollah. And with bombs and fire shot, and that situation perhaps escalating over the weekend. We're watching that very carefully. A recall, consumer news to tell you about very quickly. Walmart recalling apple juice, and that is sold across the country due to elevated arsenic levels. So this one is an important consumer report. Great Valley apple brand apple juice sold across the nation. And they're saying, do not drink this. Take this back. And this is an urgent recall that they're putting out.
Yeah, you got to put urgent on arsenic. It, period. But, I mean, obviously, with the amount of kids that consume apple juice, you know, you got to be careful with that. We just had that apple juice story last week, right, where we thought it was apple juice at that restaurant, and it ended up being, what was it, cooking wine or something?
Yeah, they put in cooking wine, put it in a sippy cup for a little toddler.
And poor kid at a 0.12, right?
Yeah. So with a blood test, rush the toddler to the emergency room. Thank God that one was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That little
Make
one.
Make America healthy again.
I know, right? Well,
Maha.
Yeah. Well,
there you go. Maha.
I know you're going to get to that one. Maybe that'll be the, that's the RFK Jr.
That's Bobby's Maha platform,
motto, right?
Make apple juice safe again. That's Bobby's role.
Well, Phil, we're feeling good with the forecast. We're feeling good with our Phillies. Won the series out in Kansas City. Kansas City Royals. We beat them.
Yeah.
Phillies. So that's a good thing, right?
Look, at this point, let's just get to the playoffs. I'm ready. I'm ready. I was sitting there watching the Eagles on Saturday. College football started Saturday. And I totally forgot the Eagles played a 1 o'clock preseason finale on Saturday. I flipped over to channel 10 and I'm like, is this a replay from Friday? Like, why is it sunny out? What's going on here? I'm like, holy crap, this thing's live right now. They got blown out, I think, by Minnesota, but still.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's preseason.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But we may see some storms this afternoon, so hopefully those storms hold off until after the kids get home from school, watching the stormy forecast and rain as we move through this Monday morning. Kale & Company News Live, sponsored by Discover Lancaster. Discover more of Lancaster with Discover Lancaster's Wheels and Waterways Trail. Explore an antique auto museum. Paddle scenic creeks. Enjoy a train ride on America's oldest continuously operated railroad. Just 90 minutes from Philadelphia. Visit discoverlancaster.com. Thank you, Discover Lancaster for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live Monday Morning Edition.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11 Monday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, a Kennedy and a Republican. You know, in life, timing is everything. Donald Trump's timing is second to none. His intuition, just to move his head a few inches on July 13th, saved his life. Fast forward to the week of August 19th, and the GOP nominee had to sit through four nights of nauseating speeches of joy, hope, and change. As if the Democrats haven't been in power the last 4 years, and for 12 of the last 16 years. Queen Kamala coronated on Thursday night, and all of the momentum was on her side, as it has been for the better part of 5 weeks. But that all changed on Friday. Honeymoon over, new ball game. You know, never in my lifetime, or I'm sure never in yours, did you envision or expect a Kennedy to endorse a Republican for president. And that's what precisely occurred on Friday, as RFK Jr., or Bobby for short, the lone wolf of the Democratic family legacy dynasty, who was rejected a chance to primary Joe Biden, who was rejected Secret Service protection, pulled the heel turn, wrestling term, and joined the dark side. Actually, he saw the light. The same light that Elon Musk saw, the same one that Tulsi Gabbard saw, the same one that I saw 8 years ago when I became a Republican and voted for Donald Trump the first time. This ain't your daddy's Democratic Party anymore. And this ain't your mama's GOP anymore. As parties change, people change. Friday was an eventful day from 2 p.m. all the way into the evening hours. It started with RFK Jr. in a Pennsylvania court filing, removing his name from the ballot and saying he plans on endorsing Donald Trump. Bobby was in Phoenix. Trump was in Las Vegas with the Trumpster scheduled to be in Glendale later that evening, just a mere 20 minutes from Phoenix, with a tease of a special guest set to attend the rally in Arizona. But first up, RFK Jr. delivering this speech in Phoenix as he shreds the Democrat Party. Listen and watch this.
I'm sorry to keep everybody waiting. 16 months ago, in April of 2023, I launched my campaign for President of the United States. I began this journey as a Democrat, the party of my father, my uncle, the party which I pledged my own allegiance to long before I was old enough to vote. I attended my first Democratic convention at the age of six in 1960. And back then, the Democrats were the champions of the Constitution, of civil rights, the Democrats stood against authoritarianism, against censorship, against colonialism, imperialism, and unjust wars. We were the party of labor, of the working class. The Democrats were the party of government transparency and the champion of the environment. Our party was the bulwark against big money interests and corporate power. True to its name, it was the party of democracy. As you know, I left that party in October because it had departed so dramatically from the core values that I grew up with. It had become the party of war, censorship, corruption, big pharma, big tech, big ag, and big money.
And yes, Bobby Kennedy has liberal views as well, but he despises the war machine, the silencing of dissenting viewpoints, big tech and big pharma. And it's proof that you can unite with somebody based on what you agree upon without being in lockstep with each other on every single issue. Memo to rhinos and MAGA. And speaking of censorship, MSNBC, the network of telling you what is arable and what can't be fact-checked live on the air, did exactly what Bobby was talking about as he was talking about it. They spoke over him and put him in a smaller box on TV as he delivered his speech. Listen and watch this censorship.
These are live pictures from Phoenix, Arizona, where Kennedy is expected to say publicly what he's already made official in a court filing, that he will endorse Donald Trump. Perhaps no coincidence that Trump is set to hold a campaign rally tonight with a special unnamed guest in Glendale, Arizona. That's just 20 minutes from where RFK is right now. Joining me now, New York Times investigative reporter Suzanne Craig, MSNBC contributor Jonathan Alter, who's written extensively about RFK Jr. and the Kennedy family.
Bobby is speaking in the background if you were watching there on YouTube, and they drowned him out to cover up what he's saying. The guardians of truth in action yet again. And they wonder why on MSNBC their ratings have bombed since the summer when we had the debate on June 27th. But here is more of RFK Jr. on why he is endorsing Donald Trump. Listen and watch this clip.
Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now to throw my support to President Trump. The causes were free speech, the war in Ukraine, and the war on our children.
So what is the impact? Well, according to Real Clear Politics and their polling averages in battleground states, Kamala Harris leads by a half point in Arizona, but Bobby was polling at almost 6%. Trump was leading Harris by 2 points in Nevada. RFK Jr. was getting 5%. Harris was leading Trump by a point and a half in Wisconsin. Bobby was at 5% in that state. Harris up 2.5 points in Michigan. Bobby was at 6% in Michigan. Harris up 2 in Pennsylvania, but Bobby has been polling at 4% in the Keystone State. They are tied in North Carolina, and Bobby gives you 4%. And Trump is up 2 in Georgia with RFK polling at 4%. Even if 50% of Bobby's supporters come aboard the Trump train, it is a seismic shift in a race that is basically a coin flip within the margin of error. And even CNN, of all places, know this. Here's Aaron Burnett on Friday night talking about the impact of the Bobby bump. Listen and watch this.
Today, RFK Jr. had suspended his campaign endorsing Trump. Kennedy telling reporters that Trump had asked him to, quote, enlist him in his administration. Now, the latest swing state polls show Kennedy with 5 or 6% of the vote. And so when you think about it overall, you may say, well, that's not a big deal. Actually, if that is the case in swing states, it is huge. It is everything. It is more than the margin between Harris and Trump in some of those same states.
It was a monumental evening on Friday, something that could change not only the political landscape moving forward, but more importantly, first and foremost, what happens on November 5th. And you just know that the machine will be humming this week before Labor Day weekend. The smearing of RFK Jr. already underway. How he abandoned a family legacy of being Democrats. They'll attempt to portray Trump and RFK Jr. as the new axis of evil, all while Kamala Harris still hasn't given us a single policy, still hasn't done a single interview, still hasn't had a single press conference. And they are banking on you hating Donald Trump more than you could ever love Kamala Harris or love any of her policies. They want your disdain for Trump to supersede everything, and they're going to try to ride that to victory again 4 years later. But now on to the main event. The moment Donald Trump brought RFK Jr. out on stage in Glendale, Arizona. This is the moment the honeymoon ended. Listen and watch this.
I don't think too many of you people have heard of him. He's very low-key. He's a very low-key person, but he's highly respected. He is a great person. I've known him for so long, for the past 16 months, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
I can't lie. I marked out like a fanboy, like I was 14 years old again. I had chills. What an entrance. What a reaction. What a move by Donald Trump. And with that, we have a brand new ball game. And September 10th can't come soon enough. And that's the big take.
The big take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. Your thoughts, your reaction, you can certainly jump in. It's brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. During the Honda Summer event, you can get financing as low as 1.9% APR for 48 months on select new models. Visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, or Pottstown. Also, you can check them out in Reading or Springfield and visit them online at PiazzaHonda.com. Your thoughts, your reaction, certainly encouraged. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, just go to YouTube.com/at1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons today. We'll get Dawn's reaction to a very monumental Friday as well as Sean's, and we'll do that on the other side of Kale and Company here on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
As we have a shorter week, I know I'll be out after Wednesday. Stocker's off all week long, and we have a lot to get into. It's always interesting. Stocker always takes off when all these big things develop, right?
Yeah.
I think wasn't Stocker out when Trump got shot? I mean, it's always interesting. He always picks the worst time from a news cycle to take off. But we had a plethora of developments on Friday. So let's get everybody's reaction. Dawn, I want to start with you. From Bobby early in the afternoon to joining forces with Trump on Friday evening in Glendale, your takeaways and observations are what?
I think, first of all, it was sad over the weekend that his sister, and I know that was a whole thing over the weekend that went viral, but his own sister comes out and just disowns him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's symbolic of a lot of families. I know in my family there are some in-laws and they're not speaking to their loved ones. It's symbolic of families being divided over politics. And that's really sad to me that happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what happens in life, to come out publicly and denounce your own brother, and especially since he spoke so eloquently about our health and children's health and what's going on with the processed food. And this is right. You guys know me. This is when he starts talking about that, he's got me.
He's got you.
Because that is my whole thing about, think about when we got back from Italy and we talked about how in Italy they do not allow in Europe all of these processing and chemicals that we put in our food, et cetera. So to me, that whole situation was sad that his sister would disown him. Number one. Number two, I did see that he lost his Secret Service protection, which I guess technically he's no longer a candidate, but it just seemed like, man, they were just really happy to pull that Secret Service protection from him.
Which is interesting because technically, I mean, he withdrew from 10 battleground states, but he's still technically on the ballot in 40 states. And oh, by the way, he's still a Kennedy. So, I mean, like, it's just ridiculous that the guy doesn't have Secret Service protection. It's almost like they want him and Trump both to be shot in the head, which really just ticks me off. But I don't mean to hijack. Go ahead with what else you observe.
No, that's okay. I'm anxious to hear what Sean has to say, too. To me, it was, like you said, watching that on Friday. It was like this crazy busy day, and it was on a Friday. I'm watching this. I loved what Trump said. I mean, Trump was really, I thought, oh, boy. Trump doesn't really give up the microphone to too many people.
No, he doesn't.
But even Trump was, you could see, kind of taken aback by that crowd reaction. And I think at one point, he did say that he's never seen that introing anybody before.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, think of Trump, even pre-president. Think of all of the he owned hotels. He was there with Dana White. Think of all of the introductions he's ever done in his career, and you could see in President Trump's face that he was taken aback by and probably thrilled.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Yes.
But taken aback, like, wow, how sweet it is. And I would just say to RFK Jr., maybe your own blood, your own family, sadly, has, denounced you. But welcome home, because mm-hmm. you have found a new family and a whole lot of support.
Indeed. Sean Farish, your thoughts from Friday?
Well, I was excited about it leading up to that. I mean, there were rumors from the beginning of last week that something like that was going to happen, that RFK was going to endorse Donald Trump. And, the first thing that runs through my head, and a lot of people said, well, is this going to be a Trojan horse type deal, or, do we want to let him in? The answer is yes. We want to let folks like that in, because here's the deal, right? If he is going to come out as a Kennedy and endorse our candidate, a Republican, which, the New York Post ran the headline, a Republican endorses a Kennedy. And I pointed out, I said, hey, a Kennedy endorses a Republican. And the Post pointed it out. I said, a Kennedy, and not like John Kennedy from Louisiana, right? We're talking about an actual, like a Kennedy endorsed the Republican. A Kennedy endorsed the Republican before Kamala Harris gave an interview. I mean, this is insane. What are we going to get next? The Epstein flight logs before she gives the interview, right? Like, what are we going to get?
Yeah.
Right? With the J6 pipe bomber? Are we going to find out about that? The SCOTUS leaker? So, and I understand there's a lot of people who have like their reservations, like, well, he's a Democrat. And like, what if he does? Folks, and this is what I always say. Right. And this it's three criteria. It's a narrow focus. It is tight boundaries. It is a short leash. I understand if you have your reservations about trusting a Democrat, but this guy, look at what his family just did. What this guy just did is monumental. Right. And haven't we all been where RFK has been, when all of us decided, many of us, not maybe not all of us, but I know many of us in 2016 decided we were voting for Donald Trump. When many of us in 2020 decided we were going to vote for him again, when many of us in 2024 decided we were going to vote for him again, right? As the party continues to grow, how many of us got flack from our friends? How many of us got flack from our family? How many people had to end friendships? I'm not proud of some of the things that have happened in that regard, but we've been where RFK has been. And the fact that there are so many people who will say, well, you guys, MAGA, the Trump supporters, you guys are in some sort of cult. When anytime someone steps out of line from the Democrats and starts to kind of come around and say, hey, I may not agree on 100% of what Donald Trump, says all the time, but I support him instead of communism. Again, this is why I'm encouraging everybody to go see the Reagan movie, mm-hmm. right? Because it's the same fight, guys. There's so many parallels. Mm-hmm. The fact that RFK stuck his neck out, he could have very easily bowed out, said, I don't like the Democrat Party, but Donald Trump doesn't stand for what I stand for. He could have taken a middle of the road, kind of split the baby side. And that's it. But he did what so many people have been unwilling to do. And it is to acknowledge, hey, I may not like this guy. I may not like a lot of the things that this movement says. Look, I don't know. You know, we have our differences, but the greater good, the cause, the you know, preserving what makes America vibrant, what has made this country so great for so long has been our ability as people to say, all right, you and I disagree on a lot. But we agree on something bigger, and that is that this nation is prosperous when we can set aside our differences and work towards something, you know, that benefits the common good. That's what RFK did. And folks, that's inspiring, right? Mm-hmm. When you see somebody, this isn't like, and no, this is not a disrespect, like no disrespect to a guy like a Jeff Van Drew, right? Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, yep. Who switched parties back around the 2018 midterms, right? Or 2020 and came around to the Republican. He's Jeff Van Drew. I love the guy. I think he's great. He's not a Kennedy. He's not a huge name in American politics. He doesn't come from, you know, from a name that has been synonymous for years, you know, with Democrat Party politics. RFK comes out, says, I don't recognize this Democrat Party. I don't necessarily agree. And he even said it in his speech. He furiously disagrees with some of the things that Donald Trump believes and that MAGA believes. And that's okay. We can hash those differences out later. The fact that he found the courage to turn around and say, look, I don't love these guys. But we agree on some of the core tenets of what has driven RFK to run for president in the first place. I think this is one of the most courageous acts in American politics that we have ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the start of something else. He mentioned there are going to be more Democrats who joined Donald Trump's campaign, meaning more than just Tulsi, more than mm-hmm. just Elon, more than just RFK Jr. I wonder who the next one's going to be. And then when it starts to become a trend, right? Democrats for Trump or something, right? Mm-hmm. When it starts to become cool, those are the people that are coming into this campaign, right? Those are the guys, they'll be able to reach their followers. I have, Elon runs a poll on X and it's like, you know, 85, you know, it's worse than what the Krasensteins do. Those guys are idiots, by the way. But you have, and they're my favorite to troll. I have to tell you, they're my favorite to just, but either way, you know, when you start to see these people, all right, starting to come out, it starts to become a thing. There's momentum. It's that snowball rolling down the mountain. This is going to become, I think, a little mini movement over the course of the next mm-hmm. 70 plus days leading into November 5th, mm-hmm. where disaffected Democrats are going to be watching guys like, let's say, Joe Manchin and go, oh, you know, I like this Joe Manchin guy. Maybe he's onto something. They all can't be crazy, right? They all can't be cultists. They mm-hmm. all can't be MAGA extremists.
Right.
You know, those people have a base that follow them. I can't reach them. People think I'm nuts. We were just out to dinner, and they might not be right or wrong. We were just out to dinner over the weekend on Thursday night, met with our local county party here. We're getting involved. And we were having a conversation, and some of these other people walked up to the table. We started including them in the conversation, and someone told these three girls, hey, look up Sean on Instagram. You're going to love him. And I'm like, I don't know about that. She takes one. And I'm wearing a MAGA hat, by the way. She takes one look and goes, oh, I know who you are. And they ran away. Right. Mm. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Right. But they ran away. Yeah. They're like, oh, you're one of those.
Like you had West Nile virus. Yeah. They ran.
Wow. Right. Like Anthony Fauci. Yeah. But here's the thing. Right. Here's the thing. So I can't reach those three girls.
Yeah.
But RFK might.
Yep.
Or Joe Manchin might, or some other disaffected Democrat might. And that is the hidden factor here. Oh, endorsements don't mean anything. But when it's this earth shattering and it's this, when you change your position or when you finally break down that psychological TDS barrier where you're like, it's not a bad thing to vote for Trump. This is what I think so many pollsters and pundits aren't accounting for. It's the inertia. It's the momentum that this is going to cause. It's the trend. Yes. How trendy, how many people jump on TikTok challenges, go dance in the supermarket. This is one of those developing, I believe, mini movements and trends that is going to start to shift a lot. Not just this election, but the American political landscape for a long time. I think this is going to have lasting effects.
I agree.
Yeah, we talk about permission all the time. And so you think about what you're saying, people looking, let's say the environmental groups or the health groups, the vaccine groups. So these different, we talk about these niche groups that only care, their only lane is they only care about the environment. Here's somebody who for a long time, he's an environmental attorney.
Mm-hmm.
That's what in many right. groups, that's what he's known for. Then in the other side, he's known for talking about health and what's going on with all of this processed foods. And why is it that most other countries, especially all of Europe, ban chemicals and processes that we allow in our food? So you have that group. And then you just have the group that you talked about that just says, oh, the Kennedys and the Kennedy mystique and Camelot. And they look at him and they think, wow, Kennedy went, maybe I'm going to take a second look.
Mm-hmm.
Does he
mm-hmm.
then open the floodgate to, quote unquote, because we all need permission. You yeah. have permission. Mm-hmm. In some of those circles, that's how they speak.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And along
yeah.
the journey, you need permission.
Yeah.
You know what I, and I'm trying to think of their vernacular. And I think that you're onto something there when you talk about that.
Think about it. The last 4 years in this country, we have seen an attack on free speech through censorship, and we've had to live through vaccine mandates and big pharma yep. shove down our throats. Those yep. are two of the things that Bobby loves and despises the most. He loves free speech, despises censorship. Heck, that's the reason this station exists. Free speech lives mm-hmm. here. And of course, he's anti-vaccine on many fronts and all the big pharma, big ag. He's basically anti-big everything, right? Big ag, big tech, big pharma. But he posted this on Twitter yesterday morning, or X, and it got 6.3 million views. And I want to read this from RFK. He says, what MAGA really means? The phrase that has troubled liberals who think it's a call for a return to an America before civil rights, gay rights, and women's rights. But I have a more generous interpretation, one that is truer to my experience of Donald Trump as he is today. Make America Great Again recalls a nation brimming with vitality, with a can-do spirit, with hope and a belief in itself. It was an America that was beginning to confront its darker shadows and could acknowledge the injustice in its past and present, yet at the same time could celebrate its successes. It was a nation of broad prosperity. It was the world's most vibrant middle class and an idealistic belief in freedom, justice, and democracy. It was a nation that led the world in innovation, productivity, and technology, and it was the healthiest country in the world. I have talked to many Trump supporters. I have talked with his inner circle. I have talked to the man himself. This is the America they want to restore. And that's exactly right. He nailed that. And the amount of responses he got, obviously, were incredible. But it's like, the left, they can't understand what MAGA is. And when we boil this election down, we've boiled it to immigration versus abortion. We've even simplified it. It's men against women. Within men, it's type A's against type B. It's masculinity against whatever guys like Doug Emhoff and Tim Walz supposedly represent. But what this really comes down to...
That's Dougie to you, by the way.
That's Dougie, yes. The sex symbol Dougie. We'll get to him in the Washington Post.
He was sexy to the nanny.
Oh, yes, he was. She found him to be a hot little trick, right?
Oh, my goodness.
But like this really comes down to communism against democracy, right? This is communism versus unity. Right. We heard this whole nonsense about a unity ticket. The unity ticket's happening right now under Donald Trump's watch. Yeah. There's countless Democrats with apparently, Dawn, reportedly, more on the way. I don't know who that is. Is that Joe Rogan? Is that somebody with a bigger brand and a bigger name than Rogan? I had no idea.
But he said Democrats. RFK Jr. on Fox last night.
That's correct.
Yesterday said Democrats.
Right.
So to you guys' point, I mean, what is this going to look like? And I don't know if you played this clip in your big take, so forgive me, because I had Dave down here. I'm still under construction in my studio, but I thought it was a great point that he made about Ross Perot running 10 months, 34 appearances, and for RFK Jr., 2 appearances in 16 months, and those were on Fox. We should be proud here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, because I know Dom, he was here for Dom. I think he was on with Rich. Well, I don't know if he's not maybe the early morning person, but he certainly was on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT live multiple times. And so we did put him on, and I think there were talk radio stations that may have given him some airtime.
Mm-hmm.
But 2 network appearances, only 2 in a year and a half. Wow.
And that was
locked out by the media.
This is Bobby.
Bobby, did I misspeak? It was Bobby Kennedy,
okay.
RFK Jr.
Okay. Unbelievable. Yeah, they don't want this guy getting the run and the airtime. They don't want him getting Secret Service protection. Again, that's not democracy. Let the marketplace of ideas, which are voters in this, you know, spectrum, let the people decide who they want, what they want, and we'll hash it all out. And again, like, you know, Kennedy was rambling a little bit on Friday. He's like, he was basically saying, if I was on the ticket, I would have won the Democratic nomination. I don't think he was going to beat Biden or Harris. But I'm glad that he's with Trump now, because I think his 5% matters. And we'll get into this on the other side. I've got some numbers that I want to run by you guys in all the battleground states with what Kennedy is capable of doing. And also just to show you what the tipping point was 4 years ago in 2020 and also in 2016, and why RFK's 3, 4, 5, 6% really does matter. We'll do that as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next. Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Sean here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Pretty remarkable what occurred on Friday. Less than 24 hours after the DNC, Kamala Harris completely disappeared from the news headlines. It's honestly remarkable. I'm looking at a montage here of the New York Times, CNN.com, The Washington Post, CBSNews.com. It was all Trump. It was all RFK Jr. And that's pretty hard to do, to knock Kamala Harris after 5 weeks off the front page of pretty much every newspaper and every website. And I think that's how big it was from a momentum standpoint and a honeymoon standpoint. But Sean, I just wanted to give you and Dawn these numbers quickly here to wrap up the 6 o'clock hour and get your quick thoughts on this. So according to Trump's internal polling, in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, they have RFK Jr. at 5%, 3%, 4%, 4%, and 4%. And people might sit back and say, well, you know, he could be a factor, but it's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying it's a guarantee. But here's the tipping point margins in the swing states in 2020. In Pennsylvania, it was decided by 1.1% or 41,223 votes. In Georgia, it was 0.2%, 10,195 votes. In Arizona, it was 0.3%, 18,713 votes. And then the same thing goes in 2016, when Trump took Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin by 44,000 votes, 10,000 votes, and 22,000 votes. You see the percentage, you think it's minimal. But when we're talking about states that determine the whole deal, and it's 10,000 votes, 11,000 votes, 18,000 votes, 40,000 votes, that's where the RFK factor comes into play. This thing could easily go from Harris plus 2 to Trump plus 3 or Trump plus 4. And that's, oh, by the way, if some of these internal polls are skewing heavy Democrat, it's really not a true representative sample, Sean.
Well, how about this, too? Think about this. I mean, because polling misses a lot of, you know, polling's, well, who are you voting for? And then you answer a question, but you don't necessarily get into how somebody arrived at that decision. So, yes, RFK was getting 4% or 5% in the polls, and that's significant in and of itself. But I want you to think about this hidden factor, right? How many people, I don't know the answer to this, I don't know if it's a large number or a small number, but how many people responded to these pollsters, right, who like RFK, they like what he says, they like what he stands for, they consider themselves Democrats, but they're voting for Harris because they feel like, you know, RFK vote's a throwaway vote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then RFK comes out and endorses Trump. And now they're like, well, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. Not that RFK is making up their minds or making their decisions for them, but how many RFK Democrats decided they didn't want to vote for RFK because he wasn't, you know, he didn't really have an actual chance, right? Now that he has endorsed Trump, do people who have answered some of these polls, right, or have said that they're voting for Harris, do they now rethink their position because of what RFK did and what this potential avalanche of Democrats that may come out and endorse Trump are going to do too?
Yep.
So there's that hidden factor as well. And you just brought up 2020's numbers and how razor thin 2020 mm-hmm. was, despite all the polling saying Donald Trump was down 7, he was down 8 points here and there. It wasn't even going to be close. And it took a week to find enough votes really to turn the election, right? There is always an understatement of Donald Trump's, the performance and polling numbers in these polls. That's number one.
Yep.
Now you got to throw this into the mix, right? And there are a lot of factors that polling is going to miss because it's not perfect. It's a snapshot in time, and you don't really get that in depth, right? When you start talking about how people arrive at their decision when they enter the voting booth. And one other thing is, you know, Dawn mentioned in the previous segment about the environmentalists and all that. You know, there are a lot of people who have this perception of Donald Trump that he wants to destroy the planet, and you know, he doesn't care about the environment. We call ourselves conservatives for a reason. I don't litter. I don't want the ice caps to melt. I don't want holes in the ozone layer, right? But I also don't need Al Gore coming out there throwing crazy stats at me to scare me into believing Long Island is going to be gone come 2020, right? I mean, this is what they put us through in high school,
yep.
The inconvenient truth, and it was inconveniently a lie. It's not even that, you know, nobody hates the environment. It's just that we're not buying the fear. You know, the hoax isn't that things are going on with the climate. It's the fear porn that keeps getting driven, you know, and shoved down our throats.
Right.
And I think people are going to start to realize that a lot of what Donald Trump and MAGA is about is reasonable. You know, like J.D. Vance, and there's a lot of people who are far more conservative than Donald Trump. He's not extreme. He keeps calling it the party of common sense. So I think, again, there's going to be a lot of momentum. I think polling is going to miss it. And I think a lot of people are going to be shocked by how much of an effect this has.
Dawn, final words on the Bobby bump, specifically maybe here in Pennsylvania, which could determine the whole thing?
I think the Bobby bump and combined with Kemp, Georgia Governor Kemp and Trump, and that mending, if you will, is huge for the GOP moving forward. And my question is, how does it impact down ticket? So looking at a Dave McCormick here in Pennsylvania, you know, we saw, you know, sleepy Casey, Senator Casey, they tried to put him up there and prop him up there at the DNC.
Yep.
And the crowd was like, meh, I mean, not excited. And so when you look at all of this, no wonder that the Democrats are worried.
Yep, no doubt. And they should be. We'll see if Harris can find some momentum between now and September 10th, but she'd have to come out from hiding in the basement and actually speak to the press. Mm-hmm. 855-839-1210. Hour two on the way. Dawn will have some news and then the latest whistleblower revelations from J13. Kale and Company, hour two on the way.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.